I won't speak very long because this is my time set aside for writing. Mostly I'm traveling around here and there. I don't have any time for writing. So I have to write books also. But it's very pleasing to see so many young men here, mostly from Maharashtra. No one comes to Bengal, hardly. I mean, unless they have a job or something like this, but the whole world is coming to Bengal now. Spiritual Bengal. They're not coming to see the Hindustan Motors factory or the Howrah Bridge or Belur Mutt. At least you're not. All over the world, the devotees, they're not coming for this. Prabhupada said about Belur Mutt, you know what that is? It's the headquarters of the Ramakrishna Mission. Prabhupada said, our devotees don't go there even to pass urine. It's a Bengali saying. They say that in Marathi also, something like that. They find it so distasteful. Bad smell. Smell of fish and chicken, which they eat there. Yeah, so I'm writing books here. That's a service Prabhupada gave me. What service is Prabhupada going to give all of you? What are you all going to do in Prabhupada's mission? Prabhupada's mission means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which Prabhupada is carrying on. What are you all going to do? Spread the glories of Mahaprabhu. How do you intend to do that? By trying to follow instructions Prabhupada has written in his books. Yeah, very good. We should think how to follow and how to distribute what we have acquired by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the acharyas. Think how to distribute that. That is a matter of, that is a duty of every devotee. To apani achare prabhu jivere shikai, to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, and by following teach others. It is the duty of a devotee to preach, as Prabhupada quoted so many times. Jare dekho tare koha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hoya taro idesh. Prabhupada often stressed this part, amar agyai, on my order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because the devotee does not think himself qualified to preach Krishna consciousness, but anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you do so anyway, I'm telling you, on my order you must do. So that Prabhupada also gave us that instruction to preach Krishna conscious as a duty. We should consider it a duty. When we become actually advanced in Krishna conscious, or to the extent that we are advanced, to the extent that we have understood how wonderful is this Krishna conscious, then we can also see how much everyone is suffering without Krishna consciousness. So then the question of compassion arises, that a devotee sees that I'm so fortunate to have this gift of Krishna consciousness, and why are the people of the world lacking this? Why are they not taking to this? So devotee makes efforts to communicate that to others. So this preaching means to, as you say, spread the glories of Mahaprabhu. The glories of Mahaprabhu can be understood by understanding what his teachings are and how they apply to us. In other words, preaching rests on understanding and communicating that to others. So that requires also to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in the beginning we may ask people, please come, take prasadam, chant all these things. But if we ourselves are to be convinced of Krishna consciousness, and if we are to convince others, then we have to understand exactly what it is that we are doing, why we should do it, how we should do it. So all this information is given in Shastra. Krishna consciousness can be properly executed according to the tenets of Shastra. This chanting is the means in Kali Yuga. Haran Nama, Haran Nama, Haran Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasceva, 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 Gatiran Yatha. But that chanting to actually give fruit, that must be with the understanding of Krishna consciousness that is given by acharyas in disciplic succession, which rests on the information given in Shastra. Otherwise, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpataya Eva Kalpate. That so-called devotional service, which is not in pursuance of Shastra, is simply a disturbance in the execution of pure devotional service. And this is quite prominently visible in Bengal, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's or Vaishnavism in pursuance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is widely spread. But mostly those who consider themselves followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not considered to be properly following by those who are actually Rupanuga devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted particularly Rupa Goswami with delineating what is the actual process of devotional service. And therefore, Gaurya Vaishnava, they're called Gaurya. Sometimes scholars refer to Chaitanyaite Vaishnavas, but we don't say, we say Rupanuga. Rupanuga means follower of Rupa Goswami. Because we may say, well, why not Chaitanyanuga or Gauranuga? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself did not give, he did not write down specific instructions about devotional service, but he specifically and systematically instructed Rupa and Sanatan. So among the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami is considered the leader. And to emphasize that, if we say Rupanuga, it means follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Rupa Goswami is the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to emphasize that, we must follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the path of Rupa Goswami. It means through the path of all the acharyas in the line of Rupa Goswami. And therefore, Gaurya Vaishnavas, they are identified as Rupanuga. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who practically made the first great initiative to develop Mayapur Dham, he is known as Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Hari. He who removes the darkness of the wrong conclusions about bhakti of those who are against the line of Rupa Goswami. This first temple of Jogpit was founded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the present temple was built by a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as also this Sri Chaitanya Math Shiva Sangam, all these places were developed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And later, Prabhupada began the development of Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. He's sometimes called Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir also. And before that was developed, there was also Sri Chaitanya Gauriamat of Madhav Maharaj. But actually, after the ISKCON Center came up, then it's only after the ISKCON Center was developed here that so many other mats have come up. Otherwise, in the mid-1970s, mostly, it was all along the road, it was empty, actually. In between ISKCON and Jogpit, there was nothing, actually, just rice fields. And ISKCON itself, at that time, there was just the part of the present temple building was there. That was the first building. And then going the other way towards the ghat at the other end of the road, there was Goswami Maharaj's mat. He had developed a mat. And then after that was Madhav Maharaj's mat. And there were, that was it. And then there were... And beyond Chaitanya Mat, Shriva Sangam, there was nothing also. None of the present mats. So it's really developed a lot. ISKCON, Prabhupada's endeavors to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world have inspired, actually, even not only the Gaudiya Vaishnav world, but even the whole of Hinduism, you could say, for want of a better word. Hinduism. When I first came to India in 1976, but then I came with the intention of staying, and subsequently I first came in 77 with the intention of staying, although from 79 to 89 I was in Bangladesh, Burma, Thailand, Malaysia, mostly time to time coming to India, but more or less I've been in this area since 1977. So, at that time, the young Hindus of that era, they were especially the educated ones, the more unfortunate ones, they tended to be skeptical about Hinduism. And they thought it was all just rubbish. They were kind of atheistic. Not everywhere, but just like in Delhi, I was going distributing books. People pull your shikha just as making a joke like this. Not at all respectful. They just thought it was just some kind of joke or something like that. They're much influenced by the ethos that had been brought in by Jawaharlal Nehru and others. Nehru, who had declared that the temples of modern India shall be the factories and dams, and like this. He was of the opinion that he expressed, and many others echoed that India has had enough religion, and India's progress has been impeded by too much emphasis on religion. So, better we have less religion and more economic development. So that ethos was there. About 1979, Illustrated Weekly of India, which used to be very prominent, something like India Today is now. India Today killed Illustrated Weekly of India. Because it took over all its circulation. But that was the most prominent weekly magazine in India. And about 1979, they had a picture of a photo of the head pujari of ISKCON Vrindavan, who was my godbrother from France. He passed away now, Onkar Prabhu. They had a photo of him, and he looked just like a traditional Brahmin, very big, but quite fat like that, and very dignified looking, like this. So he looked, and he had big beads. He looked like a typical Indian Brahmin, what you might think of the stereotype of a Brahmin, except that he was white-skinned. So they had a photo of him offering arati at Krishna Balaram temple. This is on the cover with the title, Saviors of Hinduism. So actually, by seeing how Prabhupada's disciples from the West had taken this very seriously, that was a major influence on Hindus taking pride in their own religion. Otherwise, under the influence of modern ideas, I think no one could answer such questions. You know, what is this God with an elephant head, and this idea Krishna is some God who's larking around with others' wives, and no one could give any intelligent understanding to the modern educated class. They couldn't answer the questions. But Prabhupada and his followers, they answered the questions. So, and Prabhupada, he also directed his Western disciples to build temples. Then people will respect us. Build big temples. He specifically wanted Mayapur. Prabhupada himself personally oversaw. He so much endeavor, Prabhupada, and time, even though his movement was spreading all over the world, Prabhupada personally spent a lot of time in Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Bombay because he wanted these temples established. He said, otherwise people won't take you seriously. You'll come, you'll do some program, you'll go somewhere else, and say, that was nice, and forget it. But if there's a prominent temple, and people will come and see that these people are very serious, and they'll see how the devotees, because they're, just like you see in Bombay Juhu, all the tourists, it's on the tourist circuit, right? People come from Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh and all over India, and they go on a bus tour. They go to the Gateway of India and what's that Muslim thing in the sea? Hajar Ali. And I don't know what else they go to see. But what is there to see anyway? Not that much involved. Ganesh Temple, maybe they go. And they go to see Juhu Chopati, but on the way to Juhu, either coming or going, they come to the ISKCON Temple. And so it's like an attraction. But when they come, they see that, Prabhupada, he even told that the evening arati in Vrindavan, he said they should have Western pujaris, so people can see. The Westerners have become Brahmins. So he wanted these temples so people could be attracted. And then they can understand that this is something very serious. So all this VHP, BJP, that was there, but its strength came up when people started to take their own culture seriously. So Prabhupada's movement has had, to a large extent, it has had this effect. It's not the only influence, but of course, just to become a Hindu a good Hindu is not the goal of life. In Bangladesh, one Hindu activist. Activist means not an extremist, but someone who's promoting Hinduism. He came to us once and said that wherever your foreign devotees go and perform kirtan, the tendency for Hindus to convert to Islam and Christianity, which was very strong previously, is totally stopped. And even many who have converted, they convert back. So then we were kind of teasing him and saying, well, what difference does it make whether they're a Hindu or a Christian? You see, because they're all eating fish and the men are smoking. And so he was saying, at least If they're a Muslim, then they'll do namaz 5 times a day, or at least once a week on Friday. And they'll observe Ramadan. So he was giving all different arguments and we were countering them. Because we were trying to get the point to him that, you know, the Hindu, to be a Hindu, you know, the most of the Bengali Hindus are all eating fish. So we were needling him on this point. So then he came up with something. He said that, well, if they are a Hindu, then they're much more likely to say the name Gauranga. And we agreed, okay. Better they remain a Hindu. So, we have a lot of work to do. So please do it. You have to study these books, Prabhupada's books, again and again and again, and distribute them. You're saying you want to preach by your behavior, but we have to... Prabhupada emphasized again and again that the most important way for spreading Krishna consciousness is to distribute his books. Again and again and again, Prabhupada is very much insistent on this. He said that he was saying to establish the temples, but then after establishing some temples, Prabhupada wanted to have very wide book distribution in India. So anyway, there are so many things to say, but I won't say much because I also have to write books on Prabhupada's order. Anyone want to ask anything? I take one or two questions. Pray for the mercy of Jagannath. All deities of Krishna are Krishna, but some, they all have their own special characteristic also. This Jagannath is very merciful and reciprocates very much with those who sincerely approach him, or even with those who don't sincerely approach him. He's very magnanimous. So please pray for his mercy. And don't forget Baladeva and Subhadra also.
I want to ask this. Prabhupada got the foreigner devotees, but I came to know about this call. I was in Delhi. Huh. I came to know about this call only in my 10th, 12th class.
You came to know about ISKCON only in the 10th or 12th class. What? Which year was that?
It was 2000.
2000, yeah.
What's the reason why? Because Prabhupada got the foreigner devotees.
Well, Prabhupada said in why you didn't know about ISKCON until the year 2000. Prabhupada wanted 500 Western devotees in India in 1971. He wanted to get permanent visas for them. So, well, I mean, Prabhupada set very big goals, and it takes, you know, like Prabhupada said, every American gentleman should have a full set of books in his home. So it takes time to fulfill them. Even some devotees were telling me they were doing some preaching in, or they were just walking around in one part of Bangalore. They were walking around means they were doing, you know, going somewhere for preaching or something. And several people came up to them and said, can you do some programs here? We never see you. So it's a big world and there's a lot of preaching to do. We don't have that many preachers. We need young men to dedicate their lives in this preaching mission. Prabhupada was lamenting at that time that Indians are not joining. He was bringing Westerners, but mostly Indians weren't joining. Or those who had joined, Prabhupada wanted the educated class to join with this mission, but at that time very few came. Any educated Indian came at that time, Prabhupada gave them a lot of personal attention, which his Western disciples couldn't hope for. I joined in 75. There was no question of me walking up to Prabhupada, talking to him, because he had so many, several thousand disciples. But any educated young Indian joined Prabhupada, he gave them time and attention because he wanted that educated young Indians take up this mission. So any like Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, of course he joined in America, Prabhupada gave him time, gave him a lot of personal association. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he joined Prabhupada, preached him very strongly. He told him, you give up all interest in sex life and come and join. So he gave him sannyas just within 1 year of joining. So like that. Prabhupada, he wanted educated young Indians to join this mission and take it very seriously. There's so much work to do. Every day I think of dozens of things I need to do, which I probably won't have the opportunity to do within this lifetime, because how many things can you do? So much work is required in so many spheres. So please take inspiration from Mayapur Dham, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and go back and absorb the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and make a firm commitment to dedicate your life in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That means you don't all have to become brahmacharis. Exactly. You can do so as a grihastha also. You don't have to get too afraid I'm saying like this. But either way, one's life's mission should be to serve Krishna.